The Lord. You guys breathing out there? Let's praise the Lord. Praise God. I like that song Clyde was singing. We haven't sung it in a long time.
The words are, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto God, O Most High. Yeah, He is the Most High God, that's for sure. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I thank you for your words are truly spirit and life, and I ask you to just pour yourself through me today, Lord, or out of me. I won't say through me, but I'll say out of me, because I know you're inside of me. I ask you to just bless everyone that hears the sermon today. Give them ears to hear what your spirit would speak to them. And Father, I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. I just read them something that Margaret showed me or sent me the other day, yesterday I think it was. And I'm gonna reread it to you guys, if I can get it pulled back up. This phone. I'm trying to navigate it here. I'll find it in a second here. There we go. Okay. Praise the Lord. This thing was called Seven Rules of Life. Okay. And I like it because, you know, they're real good rules to follow. Sometimes we don't like to follow rules in life. We'd rather not have too many rules, but these are good ones. Make peace with your past so it won't disturb your present. What other people think about you is none of your business. I like those. Time heals everything. Give it time. No one is in charge of your happiness except you. You know, you can decide to be happy, or you can decide to not be happy. You know, I like that song that one guy used to sing. I don't remember his name, but it was Don't Worry, Be Happy. You remember that song? And it was real popular. It was a big hit for a long time. But boy, I tell you what, that's a good song to sing. And it says, don't compare your life to others, and don't judge them. You have no idea what their journey is all about. And it says, stop thinking too much. It's all right not to know the answers. You know, we always want to know the answers. And you know, a lot of times we wouldn't like the answer if we got it. And the last one is smile. You don't own all of the problems in the world. Even though you think you do sometimes, and we do have a tendency that sometimes we think, oh, you know, I was thinking about in the Old Testament, I think it was Elijah, I believe it was, who said, Lord, I alone am left. There's no others. And God spoke to him and said, I've got 7,000 out there that ain't bowed their knee to Baal, you know. And all of our problems are not our problems. They're really the problems of the Lord if we'll give them to him. And he said, take my yoke upon me, for my burden is easy, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I am just going to ask the Lord have your way here today. And the title to my sermon today is Light of Life. Okay, Light of Life. And I'm going to read you a few scriptures here, and we'll talk about it a little bit as we go. It says, John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Okay? And all we have to do is follow him, and we're going to have that light of life just on a daily basis. You know, it's real simple. Psalm 89:1 14 through 18, it says, "Justice and judgment are the habitations of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they shall rejoice all day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and thy favor, our horn, shall be exalted. For God is our defense, the Holy One of Israel is our King." And you know, if God's your defense, no matter what you think is coming against you, you already have the victory. Because He's victorious, and we are victorious in Him as long as we walk in Him. In Ephesians 5, 13 and 14, and this is out of God's Word translation, it says, "Light exposes the true character of everything, because light makes everything easy to see. That is why it says, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead.'" I like that. "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And I think it could have said, "Christ will shine in you." You know, when I was a kid, I don't know if it was because I used to take medication years ago when I had that epilepsy, you know, when I was a kid. I was a hard one to wake up. They had a heck of a time getting me awake in the morning. But I think it possibly was because I was taking that medication, you know. And, you know, and God healed me of that, and I don't take any medication anymore, but years and years ago. But anyway, I can identify with that, "Wake up, you sleeper." My mommy, she used to have a heck of a time getting me up in the morning. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, 14 and 16. Now, I want you to hear this especially. "You are the light of the world." Now, Jesus just said He was the light. Now He's saying, "You are the light of the world. A city cannot be hid when it is located on a hill." And this is still out of God's Word. "No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, everyone who lights a lamp puts it on a lampstand. Then its light shines on everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in front of people. Then they will see the good that you do and praise your Father in heaven." You know, the next one says, 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 through 11. And this is out of the Message, and I like this. You're sons of light, daughters of the day. We live under the wide open skies and know where we stand. So don't sleepwalk through life. I like that. Sometimes we feel like we're sleepwalking through life, you know. Don't sleepwalk through life like those others. Let's keep our eyes open and be smart. People sleep in the night and get drunk at night, but not us, since we're creatures of the day. Let us act like it. Walk out into the daylight sober, dressed up in faith, love, and hope of salvation. God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master, Jesus Christ. He died for us a death that triggered life. You know, when he died on Calvary, it set life into motion, true life. True life was knowing Him and knowing the sacrifice He made on Calvary. Whether we're awake with the living or asleep with the dead, we're alive in Him. So speak encouraging words one to another. Build up hope so you'll be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. I like that. No one left out. That ain't what a lot of preachers tell you. There's going to be some left out. No. No, He said, no one left out. No one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep on doing it. All right? Psalm 56:3 says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." And this is out of the King James. "Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of the living?" You are his light of life. Proverbs 20:27. "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Now I'm going to give you a little bit of a breakdown on it. The spirit of man, and that's really saying the breath of God, is the candle of the Lord, is the light of the Lord. The breath of God in you is the light of the Lord. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. And out of the Young's literal translation, it says it like this: "The breath of man is a lamp of Jehovah, searching all the inner parts of the heart." And it's not talking about this thing that beats in your chest, because the true heart of you is this thing right up here between your ears. Because that thing in your chest, it beats when the thing up in your head tells it to. If the thing up in your head tells it to stop beating, it'll stop beating, you know. And I'm going to read you that out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "The spirit of man, that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts." Searching all the innermost parts. Praise God. Now, you know, you say, "Well, Oscar, you know, I know a lot of Christian people spend a lot of time trying to get into the deeper things of God, and they're hunting for this, and they're searching for that, and they're looking for new translations of the Bible, and they're constantly searching, trying to find more. And I think this, what I'm going to share with you here, sums it all up. And I just want you to realize, I know, you know, I've shared this poem with you before, and it's not a poem that I had written. I wish I had written it, because I think it's just one of the most beautiful poems I ever read. But I think we spend so much time looking for God out there in somebody else, some other preacher, some new revelation, some something else. And I want you to know, where you really need to look is right in here. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. I mean, you know, it's that simple. That sounds like, well, Oscar, you're making that too simple. It is that simple. He'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. And this is the poem, and this poem had a tremendous effect on me when I read it years ago. And it's called "The Windows of Gold." Okay? And it says, "There is a legend that has often been told of a boy who searched for the windows of gold. The beautiful windows he saw far away when he looked in the valley at sunrise each day. He yearned to go down to the valley below, but he lived on a mountain that was covered with snow. He knew that it would be a difficult trek, but it was a journey that he wanted to make. So he planned by day and he dreamed by night of how he could reach that great shining light. And one golden morning, as the dawn broke through and the valley sparkled with the diamonds of dew, he started to climb down the mountainside. With the windows of gold as his goal and his guide, he traveled all day and weary and worn, with bleeding feet and clothes that were torn. He entered the peaceful valley town just as the golden sun went down. But he seemed to have lost his guiding light. The windows were dark that once had been bright. And hungry and tired and lonely and cold, he cried, 'Won't you show me the windows of gold?' And a kind hand touched him and said, 'Behold, high on the mountains are the windows of gold.
for the sun going down in a great golden ball had burnished the windows of his cabin so small. And the kingdom of God and its great shining light, like the golden windows that shone so bright, is not a far distant place somewhere. It's as close to you as a silent prayer. And your search for God will end and begin when you search for him and find him within. What a beautiful poem that is. That sums up everything that you need to know about God. And all your searching out there, all your looking out there, all your constantly thinking, I got to have a deeper word, a deeper this, a deeper that. Let me tell you what, you're looking at the windows of gold out there. And the windows of gold are right inside of you. God will show you what you need to see when you need to see it. He'll take you where you need to go when you need to go. He'll tell you what you need to do when you need to do it. And a lot of times we spend a whole lot of time worrying about things that we have no control over, that we can't change. And my thing has always been, I've seen people leave this church at times in years past where they got mad about something or whatever, you know. And I'd run into them years later and talk to them. And you know what I've come to find out? They hadn't grown any more than where they were when they left here. And a lot of times, I like what Clyde said when he spoke, talking about grow where you're planted. Go wherever God's got you. If he's got you someplace, when it's time for you to be someplace else, you'll know it's time for you to be someplace else. And I think, like I say, so many times people are searching for this and they're running after that and they're running after this revelation, running after that revelation. Let me tell you what, the only running you have to do is straight to the Lord. Go straight to him. Let him be the one who takes you into whatever he wants to take you into, you know? I mean, you know, like I say, so many times we're always looking out into the future. Oh, well, that brother out there, he's really got the revelation. You know, I grew up in the age when Christians would jump in the car and drive 100 miles to go to a meeting because there was a move of God at that meeting, you know. And a lot of times, to be honest with you, that was okay because God was in it. I mean, you know. But I'm telling you what, when you come to the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, do you come to the revelation of that, know you not that you're the temple of God? I got news for you. Wherever you are, God's there. Whenever you gather together with some people, God's there. You know, the only time that you don't usually have a tendency to realize he's there when you don't come with any expectation. Scripture says we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen, why does a man yet hope for it? You know, in other words, we're saved by hope, and hope's the anchor of our soul. And one of the words for hope means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. Do you anticipate each and every day what God's going to do? Do you anticipate each and every day what he's going to speak to your heart that day? You know, I'm going to tell you, when I was a real young Christian, God used to speak to me out of movies, he spoke to me out of everything. You know what I mean? And if you learn to hear his voice, he can speak to you out of anything and everything. And when he would give me a scripture or something, a lot of times he'd reinforce that with something that he would show me, you know. I mean, when God was first dealing with me about reconciliation, you know, and I've shared this with you in times past, but I was standing at work looking out a window. I used to have a real good view out my window of this, like, farmland. It used to be right across from where, you know, right across from where I worked. And there was a nice fence over there, you know, wooden fence, you know, one of them old-looking, farm-looking fences with the wire on it and stuff. And there was this beautiful flower vine that had purple flowers on it that would grow up over. I mean, real pretty. I mean, you could have took a picture of it and hung it on the wall. It was that pretty. And a lot of times when I was working, I'd stand there as I was working and just admire that view. You know, it was a beautiful view. And one day a bee flew into the shop. And when that bee flew into the shop, I watched it, and it went up to that window, and it kept buzzing around that window, buzzing around that window, and buzzing around that window. And God was dealing with me about total reconciliation at that time. He was the scriptures on total reconciliation. And, you know, I'm standing there and I'm watching this thing, and it was just persistent. It would not quit bumping into that window, bumping into that window. Well, I watched it for a long time as I was working. I'd keep looking up as I was doing something and, you know, just keep glancing up there and watching it. And I watched it, and it got time to go home, and I went home. It was still up there banging around that window. Well, I came in the next day, and it was laying on the windowsill, dead. You know, well, God didn't put it all together for me right then. Well, then a few weeks later, maybe a month later or so, it was warm weather, and, you know, because the flowers were blooming on the fence across the way, and a bird flew into the shop. And a bird flew up to that window. And it kept banging into the window. And banging into the window. And banging into the window. Well, it came to mind that I had seen what had happened to the bee. You know, it had died banging into that window. And the bee could see where it wanted to go. But there was an invisible barrier there where it could not go where it thought it wanted to go. And, you know, the bird was doing the same thing. Now, the thought crossed my mind on the bee, should I go up and try to capture it and take it and let it out the door? And then I thought, well, maybe not, because it might sting me. You know. So I just observed it, and I came in that next day and it was dead. Well, this bird was doing the same thing. It kept flying up against that window, flying up against that window, flying up against that window. So finally I decided, well, I was going to get a box, and I was going to go up there and capture that bird. And I did, and I walked up there, and I put the box over the bird, and I kind of shook it around a little bit and made it fall down in there and covered it over. Well, I walked about maybe as far as from here to the kitchen, I'd say, up the shop, made a left-hand turn, and there was a huge door there. We had a big garage door, and it was open, wide open. So I walked over to the garage door, and I opened the lid on the box, and I gave the bird a little jostle, you know, and I watched it fly off into the heavens. And God began to speak to my heart, and He began to say, son, that's how a lot of Christian folks are. They think they see where they want to go, but they're not going the right way. And what he basically was speaking to me, there's only one door. There's only one door, and that door is wide open. And that door is Jesus Christ. And you can search for all the deep truths and all the mighty things out there that you want. But if you get away from the door, then you know what? There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I mean, I got news for you. There's only one way. That's Jesus Christ. He wants to set creation free. And what has He called us to do? He's given us the word of reconciliation. We are the light. He's given us the word of reconciliation that we can go out and do the work of reconciliation. There is work to be done, folks. And what is the work? You know what Jesus said? They asked Him one time, they said, what must we do to do the works of God? And I shared a sermon on this maybe a month or so ago. And he said, this is the work of God. That you believe on me and whom he sent. That's the work of God. Now, if you believe on him and what he's done and what he's accomplished, and that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, then what is the work that you're to do? If you're to do the work of reconciliation, you're to tell them. Every chance you get. When God opens a door, begin to tell them. God's not mad at you. He loves you. You've been forgiven. And they might think, well, I don't feel forgiven. Don't make any difference. He's forgiven you. That's the work of reconciliation. Just like I had to take that box on that bird, and I had to put the box over the bird. I had to capture him a little bit. I had to do something. I could have stood there and said, hey, bird, the door's over there. The door's over there. I could have said that all day long. And you know what? I'd have came in a day or two and found that bird dead on the windowsill again. But I had to take that box and go and put it over him and capture him. And when I captured him, then I could take him over to the door. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times I hear preachers preaching a lot of stuff where they're getting away from foundational truths. And I'm going to tell you what, in this house in here that we're in right now, in this building, this church, you go over there toward that wall and go over there toward that wall and go over here towards this wall and you start messing with the foundation and you weaken the foundation in any way, and I tell you what, I don't want to be sitting in this building. I don't want to be standing in that building when you do that. Because you know what? It's going to come down on your head. And I don't want that. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't care who you're listening to. I don't care how many deep truths you hear. I don't care what it is. If they get away from Jesus Christ and him crucified, which is the what of God? The power of God unto salvation. If they get away from that at all and don't keep making sure that foundation is underneath whatever they're saying, then you go the other way because the building will come down on you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hear what I'm saying to you. Like I want you to understand those windows of gold, that's why that's such a great poem, because it's the reality of where God's presence is. Those windows of gold were on his mountain. He just couldn't realize it because he couldn't see them. The glory of God is on you. You are the light of God. Everywhere you go, everything that you do, you are the light of God. You might not realize that sometimes and might not even feel like that sometimes, but other people will realize that and will see that in you as God's glory shines out of you. We used to sing that song, I see your glory shining in your temple, Lord, breaking forth to shine from the holiest place of all. I see your sons, Lord, marching, glorifying Jesus, overcoming all that what? They might reign. And the reigning is not something of that I'm over you or you're over me. It's something of setting people free. That's what it really is. Of setting other people free. Of showing them the glory of God that they might come up into that revelation knowledge of who and what he is and what he's done. And that they've been set free. Praise God. Well, I haven't talked to you a real long time this morning, but that's what I felt like I was supposed to share. And that Windows of Gold is a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. And boy, she wrote some good ones. I mean, you know, I read some poems that people share and they talk deep stuff and heavy stuff and way out there stuff, and that's okay. That's okay. But the reality of all of it is that's right inside of you. You are the temple of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And you can't get away from the foundational truths. You can't get away from what Jesus did on Calvary. And if you do, I'm not going to listen to you. If you don't bring that back in there once in a while, I'm not going to listen to you. Because there are some people that you talk to that don't have the foundation. And you know what? There's only one foundation. I mean, I've heard people talk about, and when I talk about total reconciliation, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. I've heard people talk about inclusion. I don't believe in inclusion. Not the way I've heard it taught. I've heard inclusion taught that God, everybody's going to be included. All the different religions and all this is just going to be brought in. And, you know, that isn't it. My Bible says every knee. How many's every? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm going to tell you what. Any of the religions out there, they can do what they want. They're going to bow their knee and they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just like you had to do that to get saved, basically, whether you physically did that, you did it inside of you when you invited him to come into your life in reality. And I'm saying, but I'm just telling you, folks, don't let people get you away from the foundation. I don't care who it is. There's some beautiful truths out there. There's some great teachers. But I don't want to walk in underneath a building where the foundation is not solid. If the foundation's not solid, you give it, let the wind blow a little bit, let a little bit of shaking come, and the building's coming down. And it will come down. It's only as solid as the foundation it's built upon. You know, I love it because Paul said, you know, one plants, another waters. Well, who gives the increase? Only God. Only God. Can't get away from that. And I tell you what, that's why I say I love this poem because it talks about the windows of gold. And he was admiring that ministry out there of the golden windows down in the valley. Boy, they were beautiful. Man, I wish we had some of that glory. And guess what? He made that arduous trek down there. He got all the way down there and he was weary and worn. His clothes were torn. And he was beat up some. And all of a sudden, the windows of gold weren't there. And then a hand touched him and said, look, up on the mountain. He looks up there and what is it? The windows of his cabin, right where he lives, right where he is, really himself, when you get right down to it, were the windows of gold. Because the glory shone there of the Son of God. The glory of the Son of God is inside of you. Just like I'm going to read you that scripture again. The first scripture that I gave you, and then I will close with this. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Matthew 5:14-16 says, You know who that is, that's you. You are the light of the world. And this is Jesus saying that. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill, when it is located on a hill, you know, no light, you can't hide it. You know, if you're driving down the road and there's a big city up on the hill, you know, and you're down below, you're going to see those lights. You're going to especially see them in a dark time. And I want you to know that you're the light of God, and that glory is on you. Whether you think it's on you or you don't, it's on you. It's on you. Don't look out there to get it. Look in here to get it, to yourself. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. I know it hasn't been real long, but this is what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life.
I thank you for that foundation of Jesus Christ. And we know it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we know that all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting to see the glory of God come forth. And they're going to be set free into being the children of God. And they're going to be birthed into the kingdom, Father. And a lot of times that birthing means that they have to come out of one realm into another realm. Just like a little baby when it's inside of its mother. It's alive in there, but it has to be birthed out into the natural realm. And boy, once it's birthed out into the natural realm, it comes into a whole different thing. And that's what's going to happen to creation out there. That's what God's going to do in creation. And Father, I thank you for your words. Like I say, they're spirit and life. Help us, Father, to go forth and to begin to encourage people when we see them down and begin to tell them God's not mad at them. He loves them. Jesus died for their sins. You know, we can never get away from that aspect of this thing, because that's the foundational truth. And when we talk to people who don't have a foundation, we can talk all the heady, high-minded things there is out there. But if we don't lay the foundation, then the building that we're trying to build in them will fall to the ground. So I just thank you, Father. I give you the praise, I give you the glory, and I give you the honor. And I ask you to bless your people. And if anybody'd like prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. And just remember, folks, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus was the light of the world. But you're the light of the world. You have the light of the life of God inside of you. And I'm going to tell you what, just like when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and it broke forth to the outside and his raiment so shone, it's inside of you. And God can let that glory be seen in you by other people. So God bless you. Go and have a great day. And if anybody wants prayer or anybody's got anything they want to say or want to add to what I said, feel free. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God bless you all.